So it is Palm Sunday. We celebrate this on the calendar to remember there's an anticipation of what we'll remember together next Sunday. But it's important we locate ourselves in how to understand what's happening in these scriptures, because often they're misunderstood in terms of what it's meant to communicate to us as believers, as people that are pursuing a relationship with Jesus, okay? But if you're a newcomer to our church, as that I've said many times before, if you are a hot mess today, coming in as a hot mess, that you are in good company, because we are a hot mess of people pursuing a relationship with Jesus together. You are in good company together today. But we are a church that prioritizes, that provides opportunity for people in the margins. We recognize that we are people in the margins to care for people in the margins. And so I've had these conversations with people repeatedly, okay, about how we try and get people into housing. And we all know, if you've been in these situations and faced difficulties with Section 8 vouchers, with your City FEPS vouchers, of being in a shelter and trying to get into a house of your own, that there's often this very difficult process that you have to go through to get into a situation where you can have your own place. And the conversations that I have with people and the situations that present in these moments are, you have to go to Bellevue to get into the space where you're evaluated and then set into a shelter. And again, the reminder about all these moments is that this is often very difficult situations that are presented for us to get somewhere we want to go. But the problem that I have with these conversations with folks, and this happened a number of times over the last few weeks, is they go through the process, right? They get to Bellevue. They do intake into the shelter system, and then there's conversations about the opportunity for them to get into some transitional facility, and the transitional facility is presented to them in the space, and it's less than desirable. And that's putting it in safe terms. I have conversations with folks. I thought that I was going to get into the system. I was going to have all this stuff happen. I've gone through with all the paperwork. I've produced all that I can produce. I've been in all the meetings, I've met with the social workers, and this is what they're offering me? This is what they're offering me. Conversations with folks where it's like a congregant setting, or a place that barely fits a single bed. This is the situation that's often presented, and many of you I've had those conversations with. This is what I have to accept. This is what I have to deal with. And it's important we wrestle with what's being described in this text for us today as we think about the scriptures, because often we find ourselves in these situations where we think we understand how things are going to work out, and then things go very differently. We think we have a sense of what the solution is going to look like, and then it's presented and it's very different than the way we had thought it would play out. This is what's happening on Palm Sunday. We often think of it as this great celebration that we remember. They're waving the palm branches, but the problem is that what's happening in this moment is that they're considering what Jesus is offering in very different terms. And the reality for us is we sometimes miss what God is doing because we're looking for the wrong thing. We sometimes miss what God is doing because we're looking for the wrong thing. Sometimes the thing you hope for doesn't materialize. Maybe it's the promotion or the housing or the relationship. It doesn't work out in the way that you wanted or the way that you anticipated, but that doesn't mean that God is not working. It just means He's not working in the way that you anticipated. This is what Palm Sunday is trying to communicate to us. And so, as we have a tradition, I'm going to have a stand and I'll read the text to us. Today we find ourselves in Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. And I'll be reading it to us from the Christian Standard Bible. It says this: "When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus then sent two disciples, telling them, 'Go into the village ahead of you. At once you will find a donkey tied there with a colt. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and He will send them at once.' This took place so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. Tell daughter Zion, see, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. A very large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others were cutting branches from trees and spreading them on the road. Then the crowds went ahead of him, and those who followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in an uproar, saying, Who is this? The crowds were saying, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Palm Sunday is an unexpected offer from God, an unexpected offer. And it's important we understand this because, again, we have our own perspective on how the world ought to work, and then God has his plans. And we have to recognize that in these moments, we have to learn to see differently with the offers that God has for us. But it's important we understand that what we expect and what God does are not always the same thing. But it's important for us to understand the background of what's happening. Some of you have asked, why the palm branches? Again, so to understand, the palm branches were a symbol of welcoming a dignitary. So they would often use these palm branches to wave in, to celebrate in a coming dignitary, a king who was coming into town. The folks would come and hope to see this celebrity, this rich, wise ruler who would offer them a better life. This is what they were celebrating or hoping to celebrate, that this was a king that they were hoping to recognize. But again, why it was really important for the Jews in this moment is because these were the people that were oppressed. These were the oppressed folks living under Roman rule, mostly working poor, mostly illiterate, many unhoused, poor. They were the ones who were heavily taxed, marginalized in the larger community. On top of this, there were religious leaders of the day who were putting heavy burdens on them of expectations of how the religious life ought to work, how it ought to work. Go to temple, provide your sacrifices, provide the temple tax, do all these things. There were all these expectations of how life ought to work. This heavy burden, not just in the society that they were living in, but also the religious life that they were trying to pursue. These were folks who were oppressed and marginalized, who were kept down by systems around them. And so when they heard that there was this King Jesus coming into town, you better believe they were ready to welcome him. They were ready to welcome him. But Jesus came in, and I said this a couple of days ago in our devotional in the church at our breakfast. They were expecting Jesus to show up in an Escalade, and he showed up on a bicycle. He wasn't what they were expecting. In fact, it was a borrowed bicycle. They were expecting someone to show up with cavalcades and chariots and all this pomp and circumstance, and he shows up on a borrowed donkey. They were expecting this king to set up shop to have their comeuppance. That's what they were expecting. The people were expecting the king to come and set things straight. You Romans, you religious leaders, you've been holding us down for so long. This is Jesus. He's coming to set things straight. That's what they were anticipating. They weren't anticipating a meager man to show up on a borrowed donkey. Because the reality is what we expect is God to fix our situation now. You see, the problem in how we view things as humans is we expect God to fall in with our plans. And this is not to say that our struggles are not real. This is not to say that God is ignorant of the situations that we're facing. But God is far more concerned than just our situation right now. He's concerned with our eternal state. He's concerned with where we will wind up spending all of our days, not just one day. Not just our moments, but our forever. And so we recognize that they were anticipating this kingdom of now. What they wanted was God to fix things right away. What they wanted was alleviation. God, fix my situation right now. I've had enough of this Roman oppression. I've had enough of this poverty. I've had enough of this religious expectation being set on me, of all these duties and responsibilities that are set on me by the religious elite to say that if you really want to be religious, if you really want to be in God's good books, you have to follow all these rules. You have to dress like this, act like this, go there, be there, do this, say this. There was this heavy oppression they were dealing with, and they expected Jesus to come and fix all of that stuff with a snap of his fingers, to be the king of the now. They expected alleviation. But again, as we think, like, how would they think this way? Well, even the disciples earlier on, if you look at your, if you have your Bible open, the way in which even the disciples, because Jesus is telling them, I'm about to go to Jerusalem and I'm about to do this thing. And what they thought was he was going to be the king, come sit on his throne, and they were going to be his right and left hand man. In fact, one of Jesus' disciples' moms came to Jesus and pulled him aside and said, look, if you, when you set up shop in your kingdom, can you make sure that my sons are your princes? They were expecting a kingdom of now. They were expecting to be his vice presidents in this new inauguration of this new political regime that Jesus was going to set up. But Jesus wasn't about a political regime. Jesus wasn't about setting up power the way the world works. They were expecting him to come and sit on a throne. But Jesus was coming to die on a cross. They were expecting Jesus to come and fix their situation right now. And what Jesus, as we're going to learn, was coming to set a different kind of life for them. We are so tempted to fall into this trap that we think that Jesus has got to fix my situation right now. If I just have this new job or this new house or more money or better clothes or better friends, then my life will be better. And it's not to say that Jesus doesn't care about those things, but Jesus cares about more than just those things. It's not that he doesn't care about those things, but he cares about more than just those things. Because we live in a culture of immediacy, that I need everything right now. I'm living on the edge of frustration because I'm not getting what I want, when I want it, how I want it. And Jesus comes in on a borrowed donkey to remind them that he's about doing something very different than what we anticipate. So the question for us is, what are we expecting Jesus to do for us right now? And let's not forget that he's working right now, even when he's not doing what you're asking. Let me say that again. He's doing things right now, even when it's not doing what you're asking. Because he's about more than just fixing your immediate situation. It's not that he doesn't care about your immediate situation, but he cares about more than just your immediate situation. Our troubles, our pains, our limitations, our issues. It's not that Jesus doesn't want to meet us in those things, but he wants to do more than just that. And they were expecting Jesus to come and be the king, and he was, and he is, but not in the way they expected. Not in the way they expected. Secondly, though, as we think about this, we expect alleviation. We expect Jesus to be Thanos and snap his fingers. Marvel reference for the sake of those who don't follow the comics. Snap fingers and think everything is going to be fixed in an instant. And Jesus is about more than just the moment. He's about forever. And he's about changing things in us that's preparing for this, for that future place. And sometimes it's going to be, if I just gave you what you wanted, when you wanted it, you might not be the kind of person I want you to become by giving you what you want when you want it. We expect alleviation, but Jesus was doing more than just alleviation. And let me tell you, This is not me speaking from abstraction. There are things that I think I need right now. There are things I wish would have changed yesterday, last week, last year. There are things that I think would change about my bank account, about my financial situation, about my housing situation, whatever. Pick something that I think I wish God would just snap a finger. And he said, I'm not just about alleviation. I'm not just about fixing your situation right now. I'm doing more than just that. More than just that. We expect alleviation, but Jesus has another offer for us. But the beautiful thing about this is it's not just that we expect alleviation. The offer that Jesus gives to us in this different sort of reality that he's inviting us into is the second thing is he offers us participation. This is what I tell folks in our breakfast. The breakfast on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, this is what I tell them again and again. This is an invitation into participation in your liberation. That's what that breakfast is. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is an invitation into participation in your liberation. You are not a passenger at breakfast on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You are a participant. And so what Jesus is reminding us as he thinks about the offer that he's making on Palm Sunday is this: I'm offering you to participate in the liberation that I'm offering you. And how do we know this? Because of what Jesus does. Before Jesus goes into the city, what does he ask the disciples to do? Go get me a donkey. Now the disciples think like, what, Jesus, all the things, like we're supposed to be your princes. We're supposed to be the men who are going to sit at your right and your left hand. Aren't we supposed to be doing more than going to pick up a borrowed donkey that you can sit on to go into the city? That seems like it's supposed to be someone else's job. That seems insignificant. That seems like it's a really insignificant moment. Why are you asking us to do this? Because they didn't know until later. John tells us, John 12, in the other text, it says later they knew that what was actually happening was they were actually helping fulfill a prophecy. They were fulfilling a prophecy. Sometimes the little things that God asks you to do will have bigger impact than you understand. The little things that God invites you to do will have bigger impact than you understand. And so what God is asking us in this offer of Palm Sunday is this: are you willing to do the little things knowing they can have great impact? I'm inviting you in to this invitation to liberate not just yourself, but people around you. Holding a door, giving up your seat on the subway, giving an extra meal, whatever it is, a listening ear in your workplace, taking an extra meal back to someone in the shelter, whatever that is, the little thing that you think won't matter, Jesus is telling you, you don't understand the level of impact that those little things can do in my plan. In my plan. The disciples thought, Jesus is asking us to pick up a borrowed donkey. This seems like a waste of time. We're supposed to be the ones casting out demons and speaking the word of God and healing folks and all stuff. And Jesus is like, you know what I really need you to do? Go to the shop and pick up a donkey for me. And so the question for us is this: when we think about the invitation from God, what are the things that he's asking us to do that we often won't do? Because we think it doesn't matter. Because we think it doesn't matter. Saying thank you matters. Yes. Yes. Communicating gratitude to folks matters. Yes. When I talk to my kids, you know what's going to get us even further than intellect in many spaces? Kindness. Kindness gets us far. But it's kindness because I recognize the kindness of God that's been extended to me, the ways in which he invites me in. Jesus could have picked up the donkey. He's fully capable. He invites them into that moment. And later they understand, wow, Jesus was inviting us into that space. And that moment was 500 years in the making. Think about that. that moment of them going to pick up the donkey, as it tells us in Zechariah 9:9, was 500 years plus in the making by them going to pick up a borrowed donkey. Jesus is inviting us in to this redemptive story. He's inviting us into this redemptive story. So when we think we have nothing to offer, I don't have anything beyond the clothes on my back, I don't have money in the bank, I don't have a job to offer, I don't have many friends, Jesus is saying, you know what you have? You have a listening ear. You have words. You have a story. Why do we celebrate clean time? To remind folks when they step into the space that you can keep going, because there's many in this space that are going, that are keeping at it. Why do we do the grateful for, sorry about as much as we do? Because we want to remind people that you're not alone, that your story helps others keep going. You might think you have nothing to offer. Jesus is saying, go pick up a donkey for me. Show up on one of the things that's been so beautiful for me over the last couple of weeks is I started a new job this week. And yesterday I was in Harlem, gave out like almost 200 cups of soup in the pouring rain with an incredible group of volunteers up in Harlem. But that meant I couldn't be here. And to know that I can entrust this work to an incredible group of folks that handed out, I don't know, 200 bags probably somewhere in there yesterday, as we regularly do. You think that it's not important that, you know, that I don't have much to offer. You know what you have to offer? Your time on Saturday. You think I don't have much to offer. You know what you have to offer? Cutting crafts for the kids on Sundays within the children's ministry. You don't think you have much to offer? You can show up on Saturday or Sunday and help us produce a meal that for some, and again, no shade, understand totally. Some of us show up into this space for the meal. That's just facts. That's facts. And so when we produce a great meal on Sunday, what we're saying is they matter. You matter. And that creates the framework by which we build a community of people that say, I want to be part of a community that makes possible a great meal on Sunday. You think you might not have much to offer? You put an apron on and help produce a great meal on Sunday. Jesus is inviting us into this liberation. He's inviting us into this liberation. Or another way of saying it, Jesus is reminding us, he's not inviting us to do for, he's inviting us to do with. He's inviting us to do with. Look at all the times in the scriptures that Jesus invites people into sharing the story. One of my favorites is the woman at the well. Yes. And before Jesus does anything for this woman to liberate her and to instruct her and to remind her and to offer her liberation, what does he do? He asks her to help him get some water. Because he wanted her to know that her work matters. Yes. Yes. Jesus is not inviting us to do for, but to do with. To do with. So what does this mean for me? Does this mean that I think I have to be smart enough or have it all together before I can join God's plan? Does this mean I need to be a preacher, that I need to have a theological education, that I need to have be the smartest or have the best clothes or have the most relationships or be the strongest or be the most prolific or whatever, the best public speaker? No, Jesus says, you know what it requires? Be faithful to do the little things. Because you don't understand the impact of those little moments in the redemptive story. Do you think there's a criteria that you need to meet before God will use you? The criteria is availability. The criteria is availability. Are you available to go pick up a borrowed donkey to introduce people to the redemptive story? Jesus is inviting us into this participation in the liberation of ourselves and others. But lastly, what Jesus is offering is transformation. We want alleviation, What Jesus is offering is transformation. What we want is passivity, and what Jesus is offering is participation. Participation is you need to accept the offer that I'm giving you. And the offer is not for a political regime or for my comeuppance or for things to go the way that I want. Jesus is offering liberation, transformation. The word the Bible uses again and again is this idea of shalom, total renewal. Most of us will know, if you've been reading the news, that like we're in the political thing again, and it's like Twilight Zone, where we're actually watching the same two political leaders running for president again. And it's like, didn't we just watch these two guys go at it before? This feels weird. And many of us are ready to jump off and think, I don't want anything to do with this political reality because nothing is changing. But we have to be reminded in this moment, what Jesus is saying is, I'm not offering you a political answer. I'm offering you liberation from your sin and to find hope and redemption in me. Hope and redemption in me. Jesus is offering transformation. The people thought that peace would come with different political structures. Jesus for president. When Jesus is president, things will be different. Yes. Because I will be friends with the president, and that will go well. It will go well for me, right? And Jesus is saying, I'm not offering you a political structure. I'm not offering you a political system. I'm not offering you a political alternative. I'm offering you myself. I'm offering you a relationship with the God of the universe. That's what I'm offering you. I'm offering you the one who made the universe with his voice. The people thought peace would come through political structures and allegiances. And sadly, the church historically has fallen into this trap of thinking that we need to cozy up with power so we can get what we want. And Jesus is telling, you know how you get what you want in God's kingdom? Because Jesus tells us earlier on. Right before Jesus is about to be inaugurated as this king, this is what he tells the people. Matthew 20:27, or verse 26, just to give a little more further context. It must not be like this among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. What was Jesus offering? Transformation, and transformation being reminded, we don't get what we want by force. We get what we want by sacrifice. By sacrifice. Jesus didn't come to set up a powerful structure of oppression. He came to offer a sacrificial offer of liberation. Liberation coming by him giving up his life so that we could have renewal and redemption and peace and joy that cannot be taken away by whatever systems or structures that are going on around us, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. Nothing can take those things away because Jesus offers renewal that transcends political systems and powers of this world. Jesus came to break down walls that separate us. This isn't about riches and poverty. This isn't about black and white. This isn't about migrants and residents, whatever false dichotomy that even is. We are all migrants, as a reminder. Unless you are a Native American in this room today, we are migrants. We came from somewhere else. So let's remember that what Jesus is offering is liberation to the captives, that we are not held captive to political systems, to oppressive systems, to this idea of what it means for us to find hope and strength in money or possessions. I'm liberated from all those things because I know that I'm loved and welcomed and forgiven by God because of what he gave me. Not about what I do for him. So what does this mean for me? This liberation that Jesus is offering Do I think that I need to find happiness in possessions? Do I think that I need to find happiness in relationships? It's not that God doesn't care about those things, but if I think those are the solutions to my problems and the deep longings of my heart, I will be disappointed. People and possessions will let you down. Jesus will never let you down. And so when Jesus is offering us liberation, what he's reminding us of is that I need to think differently about what he's offering me. What he's offering me is a new life. A new life. To think about myself and others differently. And so what we do together is remember that this offer of liberation came by Jesus giving himself for us. You see, the kings of the world set up shop and they oppress people. God reminded the Israelites of this early in the scriptures. They wanted to be like the surrounding nations, to have kings. Why don't we have a king like them? And the prophets kept reminding, you know what's going to happen when you have kings? You're going to get taxed. You're going to have to go to war. Some of you are going to be enslaved. You're going to find yourself living in ways you didn't anticipate. You're going to lose sons and daughters to wars and famine and struggle. And God's like, I'm warning you, I'm reminding you that I'm enough. I'm enough. And Jesus again then comes and reminds them, you know how I'm going to liberate you from that idea? I'm going to give myself up. I'm going to give myself up. So you can find peace and forgiveness and acceptance and welcome from God by recognizing that what Jesus offers us is a relationship with the God of the universe. A relationship with the God of the universe. And so remember, I told you, Jesus is always going to do more or different than what we ask, but it's always going to be better. Remember, I told you those stories. There's those stories of all those folks who are trying to find housing, right? And then they're offered a postage stamp apartment. But I can also tell you the stories of when people accept those postage stamp apartments and do the hard work of accepting and living there, they wind up in other spaces. Because they're willing to accept the step to get to the solution. Jesus is not always going to give us what we ask for when we want it. But he's always going to do more than we ask. Better than we ask. Because he knows where he's taking us. Jesus knew where he was taking the Israelites. He was taking them to redemption. And if he set up shop as king, he would have sold them short of what he was offering them. I can be king if you want, but that will only fix your problems now. What I want to do is fix your problems forever. I want to fix your problems forever. And so we have to recognize that what Jesus is doing is always going to be better than what we're asking him for. It's going to be different. But we have to ask ourselves, am I just asking for Jesus for a quick fix? Or am I trusting him for an eternal solution? Am I settling for asking for God for a quick fix? Or am I trusting him for an eternal solution? He's about transforming me. He's far more interested in who he wants me to become, not just where I'm at right now.